We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. It is game day again, and the game is in 6 hours. Brewers and Braves, game three today is at 12:07, our time. It is in Atlanta. Weather looks good. Series tied up 1-1. Brewers, as you know, won on Friday, and they lost on Saturday. But as you did not know, is when the start time of Game 3 is scheduled to be. And unless you stayed up very late to watch the conclusion of sports last night, multiple games finishing around 11:30. Bills Chiefs had a hour and a half delay or so. Bills won. Beat the Chiefs, if you're just using us to find that out. And also the White Sox won. And that's more important right now because the White Sox winning means there is going to be four baseball games today. And MLB is spacing out the games, which I'm totally fine with. They play a noon game today, the Brewers do. Sure, that's fine. This is what they want to do. They want to space out the games. There's been years where MLB has tried to, I believe they had the championship games on at the same time, like the ALCS and the NLCS, because Fox had all the rights for all the games, and that's what they wanted to do. And then people didn't like that, so they want to separate the games, Fox having this year the AL playoffs, TBS the NL, and then they... In their deal, they switch back and forth. So they've decided, really, that they want to have the games just not at the same time. They want a full day of baseball. And I'm totally fine with that. I know that some of you will be working or unable to get away at noon, but this is how baseball wants to do it. I think this would be the last day that there would be four scheduled games. So this is the only problem. Should the series continue to go on, Brewers could be playing some more 4 o'clock games. They could be playing some 8 o'clock games or 7 o'clock games, depending on how these other series go. So you may have seen the release last week. Hey, Brewers at noon on Monday, 4 on Tuesday, 4 on Thursday. But if other games get canceled or they're not needed to be played because the series and these other series are over, then the Brewers game would move. On Thursday, for instance, if Giants and Dodgers is over, and Brewers and Braves needs a game 5, well, they're not going to play the game at 4 in the afternoon like it's scheduled. They're going to play that at night in prime time around 7 o'clock, but we don't know that until that other series ends. So what we were waiting for yesterday was to figure out if the Brewers are going to play at noon or 3. You've got Giants-Dodgers all the way tonight, not until 8:30 our time. You've got Rays-Red Sox at 6, and then the other series that was in question, and the only series where there could have been a 3-game sweep, was Astros-White Sox. They didn't play until last night at 7. And so the situation was, if the Brewers were to play at noon, it would be because the Astros and White Sox game would still be continuing. The series, rather, would still be continuing, although for a while it did look like the game could continue. And then if that series was over, if the Astros won, which they did take a lead right away, then the Brewers would play at 3, as the games for that day today would start at 3. So the Brewers probably just prepared for noon. You get to bed early last night, you prepare for noon, maybe you check on the game, you wake up, you go ahead with your day. You prepare for a noon game this whole time. That's what the schedule says, that's what you prepare for. But, I mean, you're a fan, you want to know when your team plays. You want to know what you're supposed to do. You got to stay up to see if you're going to watch a game early, which at its most core, baseball in the playoffs, not knowing the start time of a game until 14 hours before that game is scheduled to start is pretty ridiculous. And White Sox and Astros fans are like, dude, we just finished an intense playoff game at 11:30 last night. Now you're going to make us play at 2:30? What the hell? But Brewers and Braves fans and the teams have to be like, we don't even know what time we're supposed to play. You know, there's a difference between noon and 3. There's a huge difference. These guys get to the ballpark 4 or 5 hours early. You know, they're probably waking up right now, getting ready for a game, checking the score, thinking, are we still at noon? Because when I went to bed, the Astros were up, so I was still at noon. What's the deal here? So, yes, confirmed, Brewers-Braves at noon. Freddy Peralta confirmed, even though the Brewers sort of were not telling us for a while what the deal was, but counsel yesterday said, no, this has been planned since June. Freddy Peralta against Ian Anderson on the mound. So that is happening, 12:07, first pitch, TBS with your TV coverage. We'll have you updated throughout, of course, here on this station and then the postgame show to follow with Tim Allen whenever that game does conclude. So that is the situation. Brewers-Braves at noon today as the Brewers and Braves go into Game 3 tied at 1 apiece. Plenty of Brewers discussion to be had throughout the day today. The story yesterday, in addition to what time the Brewers play today is who wanted to win that Packer game? And seemingly nobody. 5 missed field goals in 10 minutes of gameplay. The maybe worst interception I think I've ever seen in my life from Joe Burrow to start overtime, where he just, I don't know what he was doing, just flipped it over the middle to Devondre Campbell. Missed field goal after missed field goal until Mason Crosby finally sent it home.
36-yard attempt. Crosby, 3 for 3 today. And this one is no good. From the left hash, Cuba will place it down for the lead from 57 yards away. McPherson's kick is off the upright. No good. 20-yard pass play from Rogers to Adams. And now a 51-yard attempt for the win. From the left hash, Crosby, 3 for 4 this afternoon. His kick from 51 yards out.
No good.
It's no good.
This is unreal.
3 consecutive missed field goals.
That was a strange one, obviously. Both of us on that the incoming away from our tunnel, we both hit balls on that left side of the uprights and it moved left. It was just kind of strange down there.
But in the last 10 plus minutes of game time, he has missed 3. This will be a 49-yard attempt for the win. From the left hash, 2 minutes remaining in overtime. Crosby's kick this time is good. From GOAT to hero, Crosby wins it in overtime for the Green Bay Packers.
I felt really good on that left hash, a little right-to-left win. So I made 2 from 44 there earlier in the game. So just trusted that that it was going to move a little slightly right-to-left. Felt really good about the op and the hit. And, so that it was a little bit of relief, but, there was excitement. I mean, winning is tough, so this is a good one for us.
So Mason Crosby, outside of kickoffs, he kicked the ball 9 times yesterday, and he made 5 of those kicks. He also missed an extra point early, which kind of got you into this mess, where the game was tied at 22 forever, and then back and forth in overtime, the game continued to be tied. A lot to get to in this game, too. I think that Matt LaFleur kind of put his, he's all gas, no effing brakes, but down the stretch, he was like, all brakes. You got a kicker that's not making anything. You got to be more gas. You don't want to put it back on Crosby. Imagine Crosby missing that last kick again. Imagine that. Imagine missing all of those field goals. So you would end up 3 for 7 on the day. You'd end up missing 5 kicks. If he misses, like, That when you put Crosby out for the game winner, you're deciding, all right, either we're going to fix you and we're going to leave here on a high note and everything's fine, or we're going to break you and you're done. I mean, that was a big decision there to actually have him kick it.
Yeah, and I, at some point today, I'm going to give one to LaFleur because that was a terrible decision to play for a field goal after
what
that.
What does that entail, you giving one to LaFleur?
I got a couple things I want to talk about with that. I mean, imagine if McPherson makes the kick like he thought he did.
Yeah, that too. He thought the guy, McPherson in overtime for Cincy, thought he made the kick.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
He's celebrating.
It'd be different if it went over the top of the upright, but yeah. It clearly was outside.
Well, he thought it was good. He thought he made the kick. At first, I thought they were going to say, well, no, it's like in baseball. If it hit the flag, it goes in. I don't know why I was thinking that, but we'd already seen everything in this game. I thought they're going to, like the rule with the Tampa Bay Rays yesterday, some weird rule where if it bounces off the wall and then the player, then over the wall, it's just a double. I thought they were going to be like, oh, no, it hit the flag and, it was high enough, it counts. You never know. You never know with these leagues. You think you got to figure it out, and then you don't know what time the Brewers are going to play until 14 hours before their game starts. So the Packers do win. Mason Crosby puts it through. And another game comes down to Crosby this year. It had shades of the Niners-Packers game where Rodgers at a few seconds throws it to Devontae, does his little fist pump. It's time for Mason Crosby, and Crosby kept missing. But then McPherson kept missing too. McPherson was 0-for-2 on the day on field goals, both of those coming in that 10-minute stretch there. But Crosby hadn't made some field goals. Then he just went on a streak where he missed a lot. He's had a very good career, Mason Crosby has. I mean, the fact that he's still our kicker is pretty insane. You look at it, him and Rodgers are the guys here left from the Super Bowl. How often does a kicker make it that long on one specific team? And there was a year in the middle of the decade where it looked like Crosby was done and they brought in some other guys and they really did test Crosby and it looked like, okay, we might be done with the Mason Crosby era. But other than that, he's been very, very reliable. There's a game maybe once a year where he's a little off. I can think of a Colts game I was at a few years ago where they got to overtime and the field goal that he missed was so bad. I mean, instead of going right down the middle, it didn't even go like a little left or a little right like McPherson's did. It went swung into the tunnel that the Colts came out of, which is in the corner of the stadium. And again, this is a roofed stadium where there's no wind, but it looked like the ball was going and got sucked up in a tornado. So sometimes, Crosby, maybe he's due for a bad game once a year, but this was just insane. And he missed an extra point. So everything around like 38, 39, 40, he kept missing, but finally he does bring it home towards the end. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. I'm told this is Timmy in Dallas. Timmy, what's happening?
Hey, having a green and gold happy day. Mason Crosby, he was hooking everything left. And I didn't get to see the end of the game because they went to the Dallas Cowboy game.
Okay, tell me, because I've seen people from around the country. The noon game is when the Packers played. 3:25 was Dallas, New York. And what I was told was as the ball left Crosby's foot, they cut away?
Oh, no, they cut away before that.
Okay.
It was like 4th and inches, and then they cut away.
Yeah. Because my brother's out in California. He's like, I'm watching this game. It's the game we get. And then at 3:25 right away, it's right to Dallas, New York.
Yeah.
So everybody saw the whole game but missed the last field goal.
And I guess you saw the whole thing because they probably stayed with it in Milwaukee.
Yeah. We had no problem. Yeah.
Yeah. But, Mason Crosby, he's such a great guy, on and off the field. And he's been through so much. I was happy to look for her, stuck with him. And gave him the chance, had faith in him. And you don't want to see a guy like Mason Crosby fail. You know, he's special teams captain for a reason. So, and, you know, the Packers held up without MVS and Jair Alexander. And so that was good to see. But the Brewers, I don't know about Woodruff. His ERA in his last handful of games has been around 4. And we have not been hitting. We were lucky to win game one with Rowdy Tellez hitting that home run. So it's going to be interesting to see what Peralta can do. And if the Brewers can scratch out some runs in game 3. So anyway, that's my take. You know, I'd love to call or talk about college football. It was definitely an exciting week, but I'll wait for tomorrow. Today's, you know, Packers Brewers Day.
Hey, yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right. We are going to talk college football. It's an insane weekend, but we're going to wait on all that tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. Timmy, you got it down, bud.
Sounds good.
We'll talk then.
You're still the best thing on the sports talk radio.
Oh, well, thanks, buddy.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Timmy.
Bye.
See ya. Timmy in Dallas. Getting the flow of the show today. I'm gonna bring this up right now. I'll bring it up right now. I was gonna mention it at some point, but I'll bring it up right now since Timmy gave me such a good compliment. One guy who thinks I am not the best thing on sports radio is our good buddy Ram. Ram. Somebody asked me yesterday if Ram is called in. Ram, longtime caller. I consider him a friend over these airwaves. But he's always like, oh, yeah, the Bucks won, but, you know, the Bucks won, but they're going to lose. The Bucks won, but they're going to lose. He called in during the NBA Finals. During the playoff run, he would only call when the Bucks lost. He wasn't calling after wins. He'd only call after losses. I told him, Ram, you gotta call me again after they win. Because I can't keep taking you after losses. I can't keep doing it. He tweeted yesterday, somebody was asking where he was. He said, Bart wasn't taking my calls and tried to control me. He wanted to be the dictator on his show, and I didn't comply. So, yeah, guys, this is a morning sports radio show in market 42 in the country. But I run a dictatorship here. Very tight, as Toby would know. Toby, who just last week gained permission to look me in the eyes when I... You know, before I made him not, and I was making him address me as Mr. Winkler, but he's now able to call me Bart and look me in the eyes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. See, Toby complies. Toby complies very much. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Let's get out to Doug. What's up, Doug?
Hey, good morning, Bart and Toby.
Good morning, hey, Doug.
That was getting a little sick, buddy.
What?
You're a dictator now?
I'm a dictator. On Friday, was it Friday? No, Thursday I was called a communist. And now today I'm called a dictator. I'm just trying to do a wild, wacky, zany morning show, but...
There's a lot of haters, man.
What can you do?
Can't fall for that garbage. But, hey, that game yesterday, me and my wife were watching it before I had to go to work, and it was like... I looked at her and I said, we don't deserve to win this. You know, after that, doink, 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 doink. I'm like, holy smokes, you know. And then they kicked it through and I was like, I don't know what I felt when it was done. I was like, okay, we won. So, I don't know. That was weird. You know, and are the Bengals even good? Everybody says they're good, but I don't know.
Well, I thought just in this game against the Packers, I thought they looked good. I think they're good. I think Joe Burrow is really good. That 70-yard touchdown he had to Chase was very impressive. Chase is very good. I think they've got a good running game. I think they're good. The one part of them that's not good is apparently their offensive line. Because the Packers defense, you know, again, they gave up 22 points. But just like against the Niners when they gave up 28 points, they gave up some points, but... a lot of guys made plays, and I thought on the whole, I was satisfied with the defense. There's a lot of good pressures. They had 3 sacks on Burrow, but you know, maybe it's just that their offensive line is bad. I think Cincinnati is a good team. Will they make the playoffs? They're probably like right on the edge of the playoffs in the AFC. This was a big game for them that they lost, but I think they're good. If you lose to the Bengals on the road, I don't think you take like a lot of shame in that.
Okay, I just thought with our patchwork trenches, you know, on the offense, they should have just tore it up. But maybe the game plan was that good to not allow any too many pressures and sacks. So
yeah, their offensive line sucks. Ours, Rodgers was like, I thought it would suck, but these guys are pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it's amazing how they just keep plugging in, and the guys, they just work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a good start, Doug.
Yeah. But, I didn't know how to feel after the game, but I'm glad now. It's a win. It's a good win. Very good win.
You're a third shifter. Are you going to be able to watch the Brewers today?
What time of day at?
Noon.
I won't be up till 1, but I tape all those games and watch them, you know, tape delayed.
Okay.
But if it's noon, I should be able to watch the whole game before I go to work. So that'd be cool.
Hopefully
they win. I put it on my mama and my daughter's mama on Romney's show, so they got to win this series in 4. So otherwise, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, what Romney's having everybody put their opinions on their mama. Why are we so quick to throw our mamas under the bus?
He wants a conviction, you know. He wants you to commit, you know. Commit that you really believe they're going to win.
Okay.
That's what it is, you know. And I believe they're going to win this series, you know. So I'll put it on it, and hopefully I'm not wrong. So I don't know the consequences, but I put it on my mom for the Bucks, and luckily the Bucks won. So
yeah, otherwise, God only knows what would have happened to your mama.
Losing you, so I'm going to fade out here.
All right, Doug, fade away.
All right, bye.
So, yeah, that's Doug and Racine. Yeah, Rami, in the afternoons, if you think something, you have to put it on your mama. I don't know what happens to your mama if it doesn't come through. I was told, I didn't hear this, but I was told that Mike the Painter said the Brewers would sweep, and you put that on your mama? Is that what, someone told me that.
What did I say? Oh, I didn't hear what you said.
That the Brewers would sweep the Braves, and you'd put that on your mama.
Of course they did. She's going down.
So your mama is going down.
I better call her today to make sure she's all right.
Well, yeah, now what happens now?
You put
it on your mama.
I know.
It's over.
I got to call and make sure. I forgot all about that.
Oh, Mike, I know.
I did say the Brewers going to win 2-0, and it was really close. Going into Friday, 2-0. They didn't give up that late home run.
Yeah, closeness only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, Mike.
Yes, it sure does. Just like those missed field goals. That was a pretty exciting game, and I think the Bengals are for real team. They really do have a lot of talent there on the offensive side of the ball, and they had one of the top running backs in the NFL going into the game. So yeah, I don't take nothing away from them. I don't think that it was a crummy team that the Packers beat. I take our hats off to Joe Barry and did a pretty good job with our defense of late, you know, the last few games. They've really been coming on. So
you got to be pumped. Brewers play at noon today.
Oh, it's so ecstatic that I get to watch a little bit of it on my half-hour lunch break.
Don't you have off today? Don't people have off? It's Columbus Day. Isn't that a holiday?
No, that isn't one of the holidays. One of the 5, I think, that we get.
Oh.
No.
Just take, all right.
Is it 6 or 7? I forget how many we get.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're off all the time anyways after 4 hours.
Yeah. I've been off for like 5 years of my life.
No, Matt LaFleur is... he's got to get better calling down in the red zone. His red zone play calls are getting really stale. I don't know why they didn't run the ball more down there, because that A.J. Dillon, man, he is just a beast. That guy is – our running game was doing it. They just – Aaron Jones had 100 and what, 5 yards, was it?
103. Yeah. A lot of that came on one run.
Yeah, well, it was 60-some yards or whatever it was, but still, they were running, you know, the ball constantly and, you know, in between, you know, the 30s. But then when he got down to the red zone, and totally got stale. And I put that all on him, you know, Matt LaFleur's play calling, that we didn't get more touchdowns than, you know, we shouldn't have had to rely on Mason Crosby's leg to get us over the hump.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that here in a minute, Mike. Appreciate you. Enjoy your lunch break.
I will try to. Thanks for taking my call there, Bart. You guys have
dictator.
A great day.
Dictator, Bart.
You are a dictator.
I know.
Dude, you just get, you got the control.
I know. God forbid I try to take some ownership on a show with my name on it. But
you know why Ram don't like calling the show anymore? Because, you know, he thinks Jabari Parker should have been still a Buck.
Well, either way, he has not called since the finals.
Yeah, he thinks that Jabari Parker is, you know, done wrong by the Bucks, so that's why he don't like the Bucks.
All right, well, secret's out, I guess.
Yep.
All right, Mike.
Hey, have a great day. Have a great day, Toby.
See you, Mike.
Don't work too hard. Enjoy the games.
All right, Mike.
Bye now.
All right. Mike the Painter. Always gets a goodbye into Toby. I got to hear, we're gonna talk about LaFleur coming up, because I got to hear Toby. How are you gonna? What did you say? You're gonna give one to Matt LaFleur?
It's 6 o'clock in the morning, man.
Yeah, I gotta hear you give one to Matt LaFleur. I keep forgetting this guy's name. Evan McPherson. I keep wanting to say Zach McPherson. Why?
Zach Taylor? I have no idea.
And then I want to say L McPherson.
Okay, that one makes sense.
And then I want to say Mark McPherson, a good buddy of mine that worked at CBS 58 for like 2 years. We worked together in lacrosse, and then he came here, and now he's out in Colorado Springs. But Evan McPherson, you know, he celebrated. He really thought he made that kick. It's very sad.
Honestly, I was celebrating before the ball, I guess, curved to the left. But for me, what I saw is I struck it really well. And I saw it going right down the middle. So I guess you could say I know whenever it's going to go in. And that was one of those moments. And so I was kind of celebrating with Kevin when it hit a hard left. And so, I mean, I couldn't really tell you, maybe a big gust of wind caught it right at the last second, but, I struck it well. You know, I'm upset about it, but, there's nothing really I can do about it now. Just kind of move on to, Detroit and next kick. And just, we're preparing for Detroit and go up there and get a good road win.
Oh, they have Detroit next? Detroit cannot win. I don't know what is wrong with them. They might be the best 0-5 team ever. They lost that game to the Ravens, where Tucker hit the 67-yard field goal, NFL record. And then they lost yesterday. On the road, they go for 2 to win the game, and then the Vikings somehow got a field goal with no timeouts left. And kind of did what the Packers did to the Niners. The Lions just having a hard time winning. Chicago won yesterday. So the Packers are 4-1. The Bears are 3-2, beating my Raiders. Vikings 2-3, and the Lions 0-5. We're going to give one to Matt LaFleur. We're going to do that next.
Did you literally ask him if he wanted to go out for that 4th-1?
I literally asked him. I walked over. He was in the kicking net. He was coming back towards the field. I said, "Hey, what do you think?" He's like, "I got this." And so I was like, "All right, you got it. Go do it."
You had seen any flinch?
If I would have felt anything, we would have gone for it. But there was never a doubt in his mind. So I trust him. He's been doing it a really long time at a really high level. He's made a lot of clutch kicks for us. And it was just, I mean, it's part of the story. What a great team win.
Yeah, that's a big, you know, you're probably with the time running out, and the Packers had the ball around the 35, 36 or so, you're probably going to end up settling on a field goal anyway. but LaFleur asked Crosby if that's what he wanted to do. First of all, right before that, Rogers threw one to Cobb, which was a massive play to get them in field goal position in the first place. And I thought that he had the first down, clearly. But we need to be reminded, as we're always reminded, that the yellow line on TV is unofficial. And so it looked like Cobb did have the first down, but he did not. Also, let me just say this to every announcer, aspiring or current, enough with the kicker jinx thing. You're not jinxing the kicker. It's not funny when you think you are. It's not funny when you're trying not to. It was maybe funny one time, but it's over. Done. Stop. Just show a graphic. He's made 36 in a row. Miss. Oh, what pure entertainment. Yeah. Great stuff. So Matt LaFleur does kick the field goal, which, not a surprise. Matt LaFleur was kicking a lot of field goals and almost playing for field goals at the end of that game. Looking at Peter Bukowski's Twitter with Locked On Packers, he does a good job laying out a couple of instances. Game is 19-14 Packers in the fourth quarter. You remember this? They're inside the Bengals 10. Inside the Bengals 10, Packers are up 5 in the fourth quarter. They go inside run to Dillon for a yard. They do that same play again, and then incomplete pass. Nothing creative there, nothing unique. They just lined up and played, disappointing, settle for field goal. Then later in the game, tied at 22, this is the one that drove me nuts. Packers again get into the red zone. It's first and 10 at the 18. Packers have it first and 10 at the 18. There's 3:27 left, and the Bengals have to use timeout. So you're thinking, oh, okay. All right, we can kind of milk this thing down a little bit. Yeah, you can only get one first down yet, but you can kind of milk this thing down and take some clock off. Instead, they go Dillon again for a yard. Then they pass it incomplete. And then Rodgers looks to Adams in the end zone incomplete. So you saved two timeouts for the Bengals, ended up kicking the field goal, and then they missed the field goal. Now, inside the 2 minutes, we know because he tells us every time, Rodgers calls the plays. But outside of this, this is all Matt LaFleur. And I just, you know, Matt LaFleur, he's a good coach. And he's got to be. The record's there. The stat on Matt LaFleur after yesterday is very, very impressive in terms of how quick he is to getting victories. The fewest games to 30 regular season wins. It took Toby's boy Guy Chamberlain 35 games to get 30 wins. George Seifert did it in 36 games. Paul Brown did it in 37. And now so did Matt LaFleur. He wins games and he gets to the championship games. But there are still, there's reminders that he is still a first-time head coach. And I think yesterday was a reminder of that. LaFleur's great. It's great that they won. In the future, you know, and this is what happened in the NFC Championship game. They got a little passive about it, Toby, and I didn't like to see that. I mean, the guy keeps sending Crosby out there. He's got no luck. And then he sends Crosby out for the coin toss. You got to have someone else flip the coin. Crosby got that wrong, too.
Yeah.
He called tails, it was heads.
I think Matt LaFleur is a top five head coach in the NFL, but he's got to be more aggressive. Did he not learn from the NFC Championship game? I mean, he's got to play more aggressively, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You've got the best player on the field in Aaron Rodgers. Anytime Green Bay lines up to play football, they've got the best player on their side of the ball with Aaron Rodgers. So I don't know why he doesn't play like it sometimes. And you've referenced multiple drives of where LaFleur settled for a field goal. And I think the one I was most frustrated with was right after the pick in overtime from Joe Burrow. Green Bay starts to drive at Cincinnati's 17-yard line, and then they run two runs up the middle for a combined negative 5 yards with Aaron Jones. And I wanted to look at those plays because I think that Matt LaFleur's got to do a better job. One, if you're going to run it straight up the gut into a loaded box, which both plays Cincinnati had eight guys in the box. I'm running it with A.J. Dillon if you're going to run it into the middle of a loaded box. So, number two on that, Devontae Adams has one-on-one on both of those plays. And if you're running a normal offense, not settling for a field goal there, when does Aaron Rodgers not take advantage of a one-on-one with little to no safety help to Devontae Adams? And also, Devontae Adams has been dominating this game, so I don't get why Matt LaFleur decides to play for the field goal there when Crosby's already missed three straight kicks. Devontae Adams has one-on-one on the outside with Chidobe Awuzie. I'd take that matchup all day long and go to Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers, if you're scared of turning the ball over, Aaron Rodgers is probably the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL at limiting turnovers.
Well, but he already had an interception, so he was not going to have another one.
Exactly. I mean, he's not throwing a pick in that situation. And you saw the magic of Aaron Rodgers just completing that pass to Cobb to even get him back into field goal range later to win the football game. But I think, you know, a lot of times the result ends up in a win, so you forget about some of these things. But if McPherson makes the kick later on in overtime and wins that game, we're talking about this drive after Joe Burrow gifts you a terrible interception to Devondre Campbell. You cannot start a drive inside the Cincinnati red zone. And I get it. Mason Crosby's got to make that chip shot of a kick. It's not long. It's a 40-yard kick. So he's got to make that. But you've got to at least play a little bit aggressive. I don't get why you play tentatively when you have the two best players on the field. One's wearing number 12, one's wearing number 17. And I get it, Aaron Jones is incredible, but give me the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands. Don't make it live on the foot of Mason Crosby.
Yeah, that Burrow pick.
That was so bad.
One of my brothers was like behind where I was just with the TV feed, or he was streaming or whatever. He was just a little behind. And when Burrow threw the interception, I was like, I text him. I go, what the, you know? And he's like, oh no, did we lose? Because the Bengals just got the ball. And I'm like, I don't even know how to describe to you what just happened. Just brace yourself. So he's probably thinking, oh no, here comes a. And then Joe Burrow just drops back, looks around. A few guys are covered. There's no one in the middle of the field. He just throws it in the middle of the field. And Campbell's like, I'll go run towards it. And he picks it off.
It didn't even look like a normal throw either. It just looked like he was like tossing something into a trash can.
I know. Perfect, Toby. Kobe. That's what he's doing. Yeah. Well, what the hell, man?
That was the worst pick I've ever seen. Even if Tyler Boyd or whoever he was trying to throw to cuts inside, that thing's still getting picked off.
You're being generous to even mention one of their receivers as if Burrow was trying to throw there. He must have thought that another play was being run, or I don't know. Did he do the whole, you know, sometimes I'll go on this blackjack hand. I don't need to see it. You know, I'll just bet no matter what. Was he like, I don't want to say blind. I don't want, you know, I don't want to say blind. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was just playing with his eyes closed.
Yeah, but even that's like, well.
Yeah, it was not a good, I don't get what happened there. It was very bad. And then Devondre Campbell, who was a monster all day long, makes the play. I just don't get. I looked at it multiple times because I was so confused as to why they decided to run the ball both times. If I told you, Bart, that on first and second down that Cincinnati was going to line up with eight dudes in the box, which Aaron Rodgers never sees eight dudes in the box, and they were going to have one-on-one coverage on Devontae Adams with little to no safety help, why in the world are they running the football?
I don't know. I don't know. And then you start to wonder, like, is LaFleur calling something and then Rodgers is checking out of it? I mean, sometimes that can happen and we don't know.
I mean, I get that, but do you really think that Aaron Rodgers is checking out of a pass play to run it?
No, I don't. Now, when the Packers played the Niners, there was one drive the Niners had that was so good, and it was a real good indication of what Kyle Shanahan and these guys try to do, where they run a play, but it's also, if it works, it's setting up a play two, three plays down the road. They really do a nice job of scripting the whole drive. It's almost chess-like, where you're thinking moves ahead. And so sometimes Matt LaFleur does that. And you're like, this is great. There's a lot of pre-snap movement. There's, you know, disguises. There's some they just disguise it, is what I'm trying to say. Just trying to think of another word for it. I was going to say trickeration, but it's not trick plays. It's just they do a nice job covering what they're going to try to run. But then sometimes LaFleur's like back to coaching against the preseason, where it does look like McCarthy's later years, where they just line up and, all right, let's line up and then run it. Where it's like church parking lot football, where, you know, you go in there and you go on your hand. All right, Doug, you go up. Kyle, you go up, and then that way. I mean, sometimes that's what McCarthy's later years seemed like, and sometimes it seems like that's what the Packers are doing still.
Yeah, more so it's everybody get out of the way. Adams, run whatever you want. I'm throwing it to you.
Yeah, I have not had a problem yet with Devontae and how much he is being targeted. Of course you're going to target this guy a bunch. There was, I think Tom Silverstein wrote an article, I haven't read it yet, about how they have a problem in the passing game that they only target Devontae. Devontae yesterday, 11 for 206 and a touchdown, 16 targets. The rest of the team, if I could do some math quick, had 16 catches for 138 yards. So team 16 for 138, Devontae 11 for 206. I think the guys at the Journal and PackersNews.com, I think they do a great job. I'm trying to say that more. When I think people do a great job, I want to make sure I say that. So I haven't read the piece yet, but I know that some people have been calling in and thinking that already, and maybe you thought that yesterday. But when they go to Devontae, they need Devontae. Now, if Devontae gets hurt or something, then, yeah, that's going to be a problem. But I don't know what else you do. MVS is down, and you need Devontae, so you throw to Devontae.
Yeah, and I could see it some weeks, maybe last week against Pittsburgh, or, you know, a couple weeks ago against San Francisco, it seemed forced. Rodgers is throwing when he's clearly covered and hoping that Devontae makes a play on it with that back shoulder fade or whatnot, which the pick that Rodgers threw was a bad throw on trying to make that throw to Devontae. But for the most part, it seemed like in that game that Devontae was just the right read and he was open. I mean, a lot of times he's running open in that second level behind the linebackers in front of the safeties in that zone coverage, and it's the right read to throw it to Adams there. And for the most part, it felt like that was Rodgers, what he was doing yesterday, was just making the right reads. He wasn't necessarily forcing it to Adams as much as he has in the past.
I think some games, as you watch, you're like, oh my God, Rodgers, like, look at somebody else, NFC Championship game. But then there's some games where you watch the game and then you look at the box score and you're like, whoa, 206 yards. Oh, okay, I guess. Where it just seems like you're saying, like in the flow of the game. I think yesterday felt more flow of the game. John is in Franklin, 414-799-1250. You guys can call in 414-799-1250. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. If I can slide a quick comment in about the Brewers.
Oh, please. Talk about the Bucks last night. They had a 22-0 run in preseason. Sure, I don't care.
I don't care about the Bucks right now.
Oh, all right.
Look, I sat through that torturous game, and I will disagree with you at a previous caller talking about Woodruff being Woodruff isn't the problem. No, he wasn't on, you know, his absolute A game. But I'm going to tell you right now, this team could not have less offense and have a victory. It's almost impossible. Okay. You better start figuring out how to hit these starting pitchers, because this has been a problem for a while this season. They struggle, and then they get their wins late against relief pitchers. Well, then I don't understand why the modus operandi does not happen during the postseason when, you know, you lose a couple games and you're gone. If you go through the lineup, you go through that first round of everybody hitting and your aggressive free-swinging thing isn't working and it's pretty obvious that the starter on the other team is dealing, then you need to start doing grandals. You need to start forcing everybody to take a pitch at some point, work the count a little bit, and get them the heck out of the game. It's common sense, because it to watch this offense sometimes is absolutely painful. And speaking of painful, I'm just going to key out. Everyone wants to get in this morning, so I'm just going to key in on two things, and it's not going to be Crosby with the Packers. I'll let everybody else fish on that. I'm talking red zone. And we got this plausible deniability thing with Rodgers and LaFleur. People in the media need to start asking some hard questions, because this floundering in the red zone, when you could put the game away, is, you know, you're getting away with this against the Bengals, and I don't care that their offense is better. They're still the Bengals. You're not playing the Rams. You're not playing Arizona, okay? And I think KC and some other good teams are looming. So you better get your crap together. Because that end of the fourth quarter, with that drive, the mismanagement, we need to know who decided to throw the ball on second down. Just assuming that we can give them the ball back and that's okay. No, you need to grind every timeout and every second off that clock and limit the opportunity and put more and more pressure on a young quarterback that at times is brilliant and at other times he's a young quarterback. You need to put more pressure on him. That pass, and it wasn't even a high percentage pass. Okay, on second down, that was flat out stupid. And then you compound it by blowing one of your timeouts. I'm just flipping out. I'm just like, have you seen your defense in the second half just collapsing? I don't know if they were tired. Losing King didn't help. But how much of a help was he in the beginning? You know, I thought the defense played pretty well in the first half, short of the long pass, and, you know, we don't know what happened there, because with the television coverage, all you saw was Savage and somehow the ball miraculously going between his arms. I didn't see a cornerback in the picture.
Well, Chase went from the left side of the field to the right.
Well,
what happened there was Burrow and Chase are, like, friends. That's what happened there.
Well, and he's a fantastic receiver, and Savage, to his credit, was there. And like I said, the ball sailed between his arms. Okay. Whatever. They made a good play there. But overall, the defense played pretty well. I was pretty happy with the defense in the first half. But once you got, you know, into the fourth quarter, I mean, it was like, really? And you better learn how to stop somebody on fourth down, or every offense you play anywhere near the 40 or closer to their own 40 and the end zone, they're just going to keep going on fourth down. And you're going to be playing offenses that have four downs instead of three. And at 17 for 17 in the red zone that they've given up in this defense, we need to talk about that, because that is stunning. That is stunning incompetence in the red zone. And thank you for letting me rant. I'm not happy.
They won, John.
Well, Doug had it right. In the folly of all the missed field goals, there was a point where part of me is like, just lose the game. You don't deserve this. This is a dirty win.
Hey, win's a win.
This team has got a lot of things to work on, and Gutekunst has to bring a cornerback in this week. As I said, King cannot play a whole season, whether it's his fault or not. You know, it was an awful landing on that play. We need some help, or this team is going to win a division and go nowhere.
Thanks, Johnny.
Have a great day.
That was the epitome of resiliency from our football team, and I couldn't be more proud of those guys. It was far from perfect. I think a lot of that, you got to give the Bengals a ton of credit. I got so much respect for their coaches, their players. I think Zach's done an unbelievable job instilling just a great culture there, and then when you combine that with really good players, then you got a chance each and every week. And I think that was just a hard-fought football game. Apologize to all the Packer fans out there. I'm sure there was some high blood pressure going on throughout the entirety of the game, especially there at the end. But, you know, bottom line is we're 4-1, and you don't get style points. So however we find ways to win, you know, that's going to benefit us, I think, later in the season.
How about that? Matt LaFleur apologizing to you guys, to me, to John and Franklin. Oh, wow. I mean, you won, but thanks. We'll take it. And one time, John just called the Bengals the Bungles. And I was thinking of this last week at some point, is all the what are the different names that teams get that are like to make fun of them? Like the Packers can be the, you can change the A to an E and call them that. The Vikings, how many of you have called them the Vikings? Which, it's 2021 now, so that needs to go. The Saints,
You can call them the Aints. Okay. Did Washington have one when they were the R's?
Yeah, the Deadskins.
The Deadskins. There was, for a while, you guys were like, oh, the Cowgirls instead of Cowboys. The Seahawks, you guys would call the Sea Chickens. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me, but everybody, there was one week a couple of years ago where everyone's just calling them the Sea Chickens. I like that. Toby, you can have a minute here. Do you want to gripe about WFT?
Oh, boy.
I saw Jameis Winston threw a Hail Mary at the end of the first half, and not one football teamer, not one Deadskin, like, even jumped. They just, like, let the play happen.
Yeah. Was that the easiest Hail Mary you've ever seen?
Well, yeah, it wasn't even impressive.
It looked like a pitch and catch. And then on top of that, another bust in coverage deep to Deontay Harris this time. I mean, honestly, I could see Mahomes throwing for 5, 6, 7 touchdowns against them. And I could see Rodgers doing the same thing because this defense every single week keeps saying that they're going to get better, and they just don't. I mean, they consistently blow coverages. They occasionally get pressure, but not very good. So, yeah, week 7, Green Bay dominates Washington.
So Washington is the Chiefs and then the Packers?
Yeah, they were supposed to try and get a win against New Orleans because they knew that these teams were coming up on the schedule because, I mean, if you look at the rest of this Washington schedule, it's pretty difficult, and that's what happens when you get first place in a division. But I don't know where I see the next win coming from because teams that they should win against you give up 33 points to, like the New Orleans Saints. And watching that game, to bring it back to the Packers, just makes you realize how much of a fluke week one is because the Saints may be better than Washington, but barely. They are not even close to the same tier as the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I don't think they're good, yet they're 3-2.
Yeah, and somehow 38-3 against the Green Bay Packers. And I think if we go back to week one and kind of throw it out, I think the top two teams in football are pretty clearly the Packers and the Bills.
Oh, is that some disrespect, Toby? The 5-0 Cardinals?
If you throw out week one so that the Packers have a loss or the Bills have a loss. And we talked about it. I'm just saying, of how impressive they've looked, the Bills, they look incredible, and they dominated the Chiefs last night in every aspect. They might be the best team if you throw out week one. And the Cardinals have been good, don't get me wrong. But, and, you know, maybe you could say the same thing about the Packers with 37 seconds. And, you know, if San Francisco manages a little bit better, they might win that game. The Cardinals maybe should lose a game if the Vikings could get a kicker. But she actually made a kick yesterday, so good for them, I guess.
We have got a lot to talk about. Yeah, it's a Green and Gold Monday. All these Mondays are. We're talking Packers Bungles, 25-22. They get the victory. But it's also a game day. First pitches in 5 hours of Brewers Braves. And this is a series that is tied at 1-1, a pivotal game 3. Plenty on both. There'll be times today where you're listening and thinking, are they talking enough Packers? There'll be times today where you're thinking, are they talking enough Brewers? We're going to get them both here. Lots to get to. A busy, busy show here on the Fan.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.